Amen. It's good to be here this morning, and certainly we're grateful to the God of heaven who does all things well. He lengthened out the breadth of our lives to allow us to be here this morning, and for that we should be, and we ought to be eternally grateful. I'm grateful for the opportunity to come and to just be with you all. I've been looking forward to this for just a few weeks, and we're certainly grateful to God that He's allowed this to happen. We can come and fellowship one with another. I want to thank the elders of this church for extending the opportunity to come and to be with you on today. And I hope we can have a great time. I want you to know that I made up my mind when I woke up this morning, if nobody else was going to have a good time here today, I was. So y'all can look at me if you want to, but I come to have a great time in the Lord. And it's just good to be here. Now let me ease you, let me help you out. If it makes you feel better, I won't be long. Feel better if you tell them you won't be long. I mean, my church at home know I'm lying, but they know at least they feel better. And we certainly want you to feel better. Amen. So if it makes you feel better, I won't be long. When I was coming up, my kids would say, well, Daddy, don't preach, just do the announcements. So I guess I'll just read a few announcements, and I guess I'll do pretty good. It's good to be here and to spend some time. The Nichols, I've known them for, well, now keep in mind, they're old. I was young. I've known them for 30 years or more. Okay, over 30 years. And so they have known me over the years. It's good to be with them. When I was working on my master's, I was in Oxford, Ole Miss, and had an opportunity to spend some time with them. And now we're family, so we're just great to be with them. And we want to thank them also for their hospitality. We came in yesterday right after lunch, and we had, well, I won't tell you because then y'all get hungry, but we had just a great meal and great fellowship one with another, and we thank God for that. Also have my wife travel with me. She gets an opportunity to travel with me every now and then, and we're going to try to get away. You're only like 4 hours away from us, so we thought we'd come up here and spend a weekend. And I also want to thank Brother McCraig, Brother Mark, for the gracious opportunity, just hospitality, extending the invitation to come and to be with you all, and then keeping up with me, kept calling, and just good to be here with you all, and again, with this great church at the Hickman Church. Amen. Praise God. Amen. You ought to be proud of the church that you are a member of, because it's where you worship. Amen. And so we're certainly glad to be with you all. Also, I saw Brother Bowers. I just met him, but I've known his brother. When he was alive, I've known his brother over the years. Great professor at Pepperdine. Also great preacher of the Figueroa Church of Christ. I knew him. I knew his mentor, Brother Richard Nathaniel Hogan at the Figueroa Church of Christ. We go way, way, way back. And so it's good to see him. I'd never met him, but when he told me his name, I knew exactly who he was. Just by the name. So there's something in the name. Amen. Y'all don't believe in the name? All right. I'll look at him. I'm just going to read your faces here now. I want you to know I read faces very well. So let me just warn you also. Now, we're going to try to get out of here on time. We're going to be out. What time y'all normally get out? Well, anyway, y'all didn't tell me. So y'all get out with the time we normally get out. But I do want to say that, I can do this thing and be out of here and we get it on time, but in order for me to do that, you have to say amen. Now, because what happens is when I preach and you say amen, that means you got it. If you get quiet, then I have the tendency and the propensity and the proclivity to hover. And if I hover, then I got it. What I'm doing is I'm saying what I said. And then I'm going to say again what I said to make sure that you understand what I just said, which you know I just said, because I'm not going to take back what I said, when I said what I said, how I said what I said, like I said what I said, I mean what I say. And then I got to hover, you see. And that takes extra time, you know, hovering time. So, and all you have to do is just say amen. And we could have went on, but because you got quiet, then I have the preacher side comes out of me. And then if you look confused while I'm preaching, I add 15 minutes. Because now I have to go back and unconfuse you. I don't know where we lost you, and I have to go backtrack. And I was at a meeting one time, and one person just kept looking confused. And I said, I keep adding 15 minutes. And so when church was over, the gentleman said that one of the elders walked up to me and said, listen, we don't put a timer on a preacher. We've never done that. We've never done that. But next time when a person looks that confused, point us out so we can go get them. So if you look confused, I'm going to point you out. You know, I'm going to have to sell you out and tell you who that, so they'll come get you and walk you out. And then, God forbid, if you go to sleep, I start all over. So those are my rules. I'm real easy to get along. I'm real easy. Can y'all get that? So let me make sure we got that. So if you want me to get out on time, you have to say what? Oh, y'all are good. If you look confused, what happens? 15 more minutes. And if you go to sleep, I stop. Oh, y'all are good. So we're going to have a good time this morning. All right. Good to see you all and good to be here. I don't know why I just touched something. I touched something here. All right. All right. Went out of me. Okay, good. All right. I want to talk this morning. I want to first of all bring you greetings from the Central Church in Minneapolis, Minnesota, where I have the privilege of serving as their minister. And we just thank God for them. I'm crazy about them, and I hope they're crazy about me. But we're just glad to be here with you all this morning. If you're ever in the city, we ask you to come by and drop in on us at Central. It's the land of 10,000 lakes, the home of Mall of America, the home of Prince. Oh, okay, all right, just try to get to it. Anyway, but if you're ever in the area, come on by. I said that one time, and one church took me up on that, and they showed up with a bus. You don't have to come with a bus now. But please come by. If you're in the area, we ask you to come by and visit with us. Now, due to the immensity of the message and the brevity of time, if you brought your Bibles, I want to look at a text from Matthew chapter 14, 22 through verse 33. But for time's sake, we're just going to look at one verse, just one verse that I want to zero in on this morning. Verse number 30. That way you don't have to be short. I just read one verse. Doesn't mean anything, but just, you know, my church know I can spend a whole month on just one verse, but just can I do one verse? The Bible says, Matthew chapter 14, verse 30, but when he saw the wind boisterous, he was afraid, and beginning to sink, he cried, Lord, save me. I want to use my subject for just a few moments. I want to talk about faith it till you make it. Faith it till you make it. And I want to talk about this because I thought this would help encourage you on your journey as to where you are as a church. Having been doing this for some 40 years, I kind of have an idea. I could walk into a church and tell you pretty much the dynamics of a church. I also do a lot of arbitration with churches, so I could pretty much know, could walk in and tell you where you are in transition. And I wanted to encourage you because what happens is, I want to tell you, I want to talk about what we're going to do, what you need to do, and what you should be doing in the meantime. In the meantime. Can you say in the meantime? Now, what I mean by in the meantime is that people will tell you, preachers will tell you that when God closes one door, he opens up a window. And that's all they tell you. And so you get excited because you know one door just closed. And you're waiting for your window to open or your door to open. But the part they always leave out, the preachers leave out, that they leave out the part that between the door closing and the window opening, they leave out the part, there's a hallway in the middle. And they leave out the most important part because the hallway is the part that many times we spend most of our time in, waiting to get to the window. So the question on the floor this morning, if I'm here at Hickman, is what do we do in the meantime? But I want you to know that God still loves you and he cares for you in the meantime. And I want to share with you that you ought to faith it till you make it. look, if you will, at our text, faith that till you make it. One thing about faith and one thing about darkness and light, I see better during the day, but I can see further at night. All right, let me explain that, because y'all give me that look, so I get to add 15 minutes already. I didn't get started yet. Yeah, look at me, put this clock on me here in a minute. What I mean by that is that during the day, and I'm getting blind, I can't see like I used to, but I can see better during the day, but because at night it's dark and the stars are so far away, you can see them clearer. So I may be able to see better during the day, but I can see farther at night. And I say that because sometimes God has to send darkness for you to see further. So sometimes it has to be nighttime. So you can see the daytime all day, then you couldn't see afar. So sometimes God sends nighttime in your life so that you can see further, and then he brings daylight so you can see better. Amen points, a preach point. That was a good point. I thought it was. All right. I'm prepared to say my own amen. Y'all don't have to say nothing. We're also here because I want to talk a little about truth. The Bible tells us in Proverbs 23:23 to buy the truth and sell it not. John 1:17, for the law came by Moses, but grace and truth came through Jesus Christ. John 17:17, the Bible says, sanctify them through thy truth. Thy word is truth. Galatians chapter 4 and verse 16, I hope that I'm become your enemy because I tell you the truth. John chapter 4 and verse 24, God is a spirit, and they that worship him must worship him in spirit and in truth. John 8:32, ye shall know the truth, and the truth shall set you or make you free. Amen. So we're here because of truth. We're here because we have to come worship God in spirit and in truth. So we're concerned this morning about truth. We're not concerned about what somebody said, but what the Bible says. We're concerned about what thus saith the Lord. Because at the end of the day, it really doesn't matter what you think or what I think. But it all matters what God thinks. What he says in this holy book of ours, that's what's going to judge us in the last day. John chapter 13, verse 48, the Bible said, John 12, 48 rather, he that rejecteth me and receiveth not my word hath one that judges him. The word that I have spoken, the same word that I spoke, shall judge us in the last day. So we may think that we're not going to hear this word again. But the Bible said the same word you hear right now is going to judge us in the last days. Jude chapter 1 and verse 3 tells us that we have to contend earnestly for the faith. Now, there's a difference between faith and the faith. Faith is the faith that comes from, that we get when it comes from the faith. The faith is the teaching. So when he says earnestly contend for the faith, when that definite article is there, it's talking about the teaching. And because we're members of the body of Christ, because we're members of the church of Christ, we believe in the one teaching, the one Lord, the one faith, and the one baptism. We still believe that, don't we? All right, make sure I was at the right place. All right. And so because we believe that, because of our teaching, now that teaching strengthens our faith. And if you keep the faith, your faith will keep you. Let me say it again. If you keep the faith will keep you, because your faith will come from the learning and teaching of the faith. So as you study and internalize the faith, your faith will become stronger day by day. But let me see if I can help you. It's kind of like I have high blood pressure, hypertension. I go to the doctor, and he tells me that you take this medicine once a day. I'm going somewhere. And so I start taking it, but I don't think I'm diagnosed myself. I don't think I need it every day. Come on now, y'all know what I'm talking about. So I say, well, I don't need it every day. I'm going to take it once a week. Then I start having some serious problems. So now I'm in the hospital, doctor comes and see me, saying, what's going on?
I said, I don't know what's going on, Doc. I can't tell you what's going on. I'm in the hospital here. My blood pressure's going through the roof. I'm having some serious problems here. He says, well, have you been taking your medicine? I said, yes, I've been taking my medicine. Then he said, well, how often have you been taking it? I said, well, I decided to take it once a week. See, that's my problem. I've got the right medicine, but I'm getting the wrong dosage. Oh, I wish I had someone to help me right around here. A lot of us, we need to understand, because we're in the right church, we got the right doctrine, we got the right place, we got the right people, we got the right preacher, we got the right elder, we got the right deacon. Our problem is we got taking the wrong dosage. You can't just take enough on Sunday morning and expect to be faithful all week long. You got to study to show yourself the proof unto God. Now, elders, y'all hear that amen? That's what I'm talking about. All right. Now, next week, y'all won't say, I won't get an amen out of it. But anyway, but I want to share that with you, because sometimes we have to understand that the right dosage means a lot. So it's not that you're in the wrong church. But sometimes, the Bible says faith comes, Romans 10:17, faith comes by hearing. And hearing by the word of God. So faith doesn't come by osmosis. I won't be driving down Hickman Road and hit the stoplight, bam, faith comes in. Faith doesn't work like that. Faith comes by hearing. So the more you hear it, the stronger your faith becomes. That's why you just can't come to church on Christmas, Mother's Day, and Easter and be seeing me. But you have to come every time the doors open. Come every time there's a Bible class. Why? Because your faith is being strengthened by coming every time you come. Number one, I want to bring just 3 points real quickly. Number one, he assures us that we'll get through this storm. Notice in my text that I didn't get to read all of it, and I won't have time to go really into like I want to because of the time. I want to share with you that the Bible said that straightway Jesus constrained his disciples to get into the ship and to go before him into the other side, and he sent the multitudes away. There are times you'll notice that sometimes when Jesus is on the ship, and there's sometimes when he's not on the ship, but he's on the side watching the ship. Okay, let me help you. Y'all gave me that look again. There are times when the Lord is truly with you, and you can feel his power and his presence. But then the other times you feel like, well, Lord, where are you? It's not that he's left you per se, but sometimes he's watching and see, because the Holy Spirit still dwells in us, but to see how we're going to do, and he watches us to make sure. Let me try another way. It's like taking a test in school. If I'm teaching you something, once I give you a test, I've already taught you everything you need for that test. So the teacher can no longer tell anything or say anything anymore. Sometimes the reason why God is silent in the hallways is because you're in the middle of a test and he can't talk during a test. Now, if you talk, you fail the test. Oh, y'all are going to help me here. So sometimes when we're going through our vicissitudes of life, it's because God has us right where in a test. It means he showed us. He showed us that he loved us. He shows us that he's near us. He shows us that he's confident with us. He showed his power, his healing power. Have you been sick? And he made you well. Then he lets you know that you're ready for the next test. And so sometimes he has to be silent while you pass the test. And sometimes we keep doing the same thing over and over again because we're not passing the test. Preach point, I think I will. Boy, that was some good preaching. I thought it was. You remember Luke 22 and verse 31 through 34. Jesus said, Simon, Simon, Satan wants to sift you as wheat. But watch this. He said, but watch this. I prayed for you. And what we ought to be comforting in is to know that God is praying for us in the midst of our storm. I can make it if I know that Jesus is praying on the right hand of God. He's our intercessor. And can you imagine he's praying for just little old me? Isn't that something to know he's praying for just you and me? He's on the right hand of God praying for us just so that we can make it through the storm we're going through. So sometimes storm, now let me just say this. Some storms are because we're being tested. But now, some storms we bring on ourselves. If you go outside in Minneapolis with 20 below zero and you don't have a coat on and you get pneumonia the next week, so you brought that storm on yourself. So y'all getting real quiet now. If you decide, y'all don't have that here, but yeah, y'all do have that. I saw that yesterday, but in Minneapolis, everybody wants to be in front of you. I don't care if you're doing 50 miles an hour down the street. If they see you come in and they see any kind of opportunity to get in front of you, they can pull out right in front of you. And then you got to slam on your brakes. And I tell them all the time, I pray for them if you pull out in front of me because I can't see like I used to see. And so what happens is people want to, and so what happens, we get a road rage. And then it causes you and I to use a vocabulary and a vernacular and a certain verbosity that we normally wouldn't use, or we shouldn't use, or we use sometimes, or we use in the house only. Oh, I'm sorry. But let me tell you what's going on. Note that all of us are going to encounter contrary winds. The disciples were on this boat. They were followers of Christ. They saw a contrary wind. Now watch, look at verse number 25. The Bible said the fourth watch of the night. Now notice what happened. I want you to see this part here because this is important for you in your storm, in your hallway. Note that the Bible said that Jesus appeared in the fourth watch of the night. Is that in your Bible? I want to make sure I'm reading. Is that in your Bible? No, it's in my Indianapolis Bible. Is it in your Bible? Okay, now it's in my Minneapolis Bible that he watched the fourth watch of the night. Isn't it interesting to you that the Bible brings out detail that he shows up, I'm going somewhere, at the fourth watch of, my mind is, okay, you know me, I'm a theologian by trade, I just think, why didn't you come in the first watch? Lord, you knew I was in trouble on the first watch, why couldn't you show up? Okay, Lord, okay, maybe you overcrossed the world, but maybe you could have showed up on the second watch. I'm your boy, I'm your preacher. Sure, you could have showed up on the third watch. But why would you, Lord, why would you want to show up on the... See, now let me give you the times of this. See, there was the first watch was from 6 p.m. to 9 p.m. Then from 9 p.m. to midnight was the second watch. The third watch was from midnight to 3. The fourth watch was from 3 a.m. to 6 a.m. Oh, y'all are going to help me here. The Bible says, weeping may endure for a night, but joy comes in the morning. Isn't there something about the Lord coming at the fourth watch of the night? Now watch this. Can you see this? We're drowning. We're drowning over here, Lord. We're drowning. We're on a boat. We're about to go. We're drowning. The storm is too busy. Peter goes out in the water. And he's drowning. And can you imagine the Lord? He comes just walking. Lord, they're about to take my car, about to rebuild this. Here comes the Lord just. My house is foreclosing. Here comes the Lord just. Y'all see my point? Watch out. The Lord just. Why? Because the Lord is not moved by our time. Your emergencies does not move God. Because one day is like 1,000 years, and 1,000 years is like one day. So with us, we have to have past, present, and future to decide what time it is. But with God, it just is. Watch your Bible in Hebrews chapter 11 and verse 6. Without faith, it's impossible to please him. For those that cometh to God must believe that he is. God always was, is. God always is. And God always will be, is. He just is. We have to say past, present, and future so we can know what time it is. But with God is an eternity future and he's in eternity past all at the same time. All right, I'll leave that alone. Y'all getting quiet on me now. I'm just trying to show you that with God it's eternal. And so we don't have to watch about God. Then the last thing, he says in the midst of our storm, it is I. In the midst of our storm, he says, it is I. See, when you're in your storm, you need to know the Lord is present in your storm. Am I right about it? The other thing about God is that God's timing is not always our timing. That's why he said one day is like a thousand is one day. Let me give you an example. I'm an illustrated preacher. You don't mind. Jesus taught in parables. I think it's important that it sticks with you. I was in second grade. He had a teacher named Ms. West. And it was time for us to get up and go to the restroom and get a drink of water. And we had to walk those yellow lines. Remember, y'all don't remember the hallways we walked the, maybe y'all didn't walk hallways. You didn't walk the yellow line. Y'all didn't walk no line. Did y'all go to school? Okay, all right. I'm going to say, okay, thank you. The hallways, right. Remember the hallways, you had the lines, and when you're in school, you had to walk the line, and the teacher would say, get that line and walk down to the water fountain. Y'all didn't follow directions of school? All right, well, y'all look at me like y'all didn't follow these directions. All right. So we would walk on the watch. Now, what happened was, it was our time. I'm going somewhere. It was time to go to the restroom. It was time to get some water. Just because it's your time doesn't necessarily mean it's your turn. Oh, y'all ain't saying nothing. Preach point. That was some good preaching, I thought it was. Watch it. It might be, well, let me say it again. It may be your time. It may be your season. It just ain't your turn. Because what happened was it was our turn. It was our time, rather, to go to get water. But my last name is Poison. We're in alphabetical order. So all the A's and the B's, like my wife, make them brown, so she gets to go first. So you see, it may be our time, but it's just not our turn. See, Hickman, it might be your time, but God's going to bring you a preacher, and it'll then be your turn. So you have to stay encouraged, because the difference is, it may be your time. But it's just not your. So don't be getting mad at God. Don't be giving up on God. You know why? Because God hasn't given up on you. Oh, I wish I could preach this thing like I want to. The other thing is too, you might say, well, we don't have nothing. Let me say this to you. Well, I'm standing. I'm going back to Minneapolis. But let me say this. I'll be relieved, really doesn't matter. But let me just say what I want to say. And one thing I like about y'all already gave me a check, so I can leave now. So I got to worry about my check, right? Watch this. See, God, sometimes we think we don't have nothing. But with God, nothing is something. Let me help you. Y'all ain't looking right over here. Come on the side. Let me say it again. Let me talk to y'all. Can we talk? Can we talk for a moment? Nothing is something. In Genesis chapter 1, in the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. The earth left form and void, and darkness on the face of the deep. The Spirit of God moved on the face of the world, and God said that there be light, and there was light. Watch it. So, and when God first created all things, the Bible said there was just form and void. There was nothing. But then he created the whole world on nothing. And he took it out of nothing. And he created something. Oh, y'all not going to tell me. Now, y'all don't give up. Look on this side over here now. So, when you tell me you ain't got nothing, you really have something if you have God.
Amen.
Because God is a miracle worker. He's a miracle creator. Sometimes he makes you go to nothing so you can see he's somebody and something. And then you have to start all over. Anybody ever started all over again? Anybody had been somewhere and you got knocked down, got laid off? Okay, then what? Fired? Huh? Well, they let me go. You got fired. How you look at it? Hello? kill me trying to make up new words for getting fired. Well, they let me go. You got fired. Let's just call it what it. Well, they called me and gave my paper because you got downsized, fired. In other words, you ain't got a job tomorrow. Hello? And if you ever had to start all over again, then you will learn to trust in God and recognize God is a master at taking you from nowhere to bringing you somewhere. He's a master at making nothing out of something. Hello, I wish I had time. I bet you can go in the room and talk about all the testimonies how God brought you through. That if it had not been for the Lord who was on your side, when you had nothing, it was God. When you were trying to raise your children, it was God that brought you through some depressive time. It was nobody but the Lord that was on your side.
Amen.
Even now, I get amazed at watching how God works. I never get tired of watching the wonder workers of God. Let me wrap this thing up because I can tell my time is running out here. Let me see how I want to wrap this thing up here. I wish I had time to talk about Peter on the water because we need more Peters in the church. We need some more people that are willing to step outside the boat. Now, some of y'all criticize Peter for stepping outside the boat, but he's the only one that can put on his resume, "I walked on water." Hello? Now, the other disciples are with them, right? But they can't put on their resume. Their legacy ain't they walked on water. They just were in a boat. Hello? Now, some people say, well, the problem is, and I'll close. Some people say, what happened was, he began to walk on water, and it's telling you about all that he was doing. But the wind was boisterous when he stepped out the first time. Note the text. It was boisterous when he got out there. His problem was he took his eyes off of Christ. And then the Bible says, watch it now. He began to walk. Now people say, well, it's impossible. Let me deal with that real quick. I'm done. It's impossible for a man to walk on the water. Can we go back and look at it again? And I'll close with that. It's impossible for a man to walk on the water. The Bible says that Peter walked on the water. Well, watch what he did. He asked the Lord, "Can I come the way you are?" And he said, "According to my word," he stepped out. Oh, y'all ain't got that. So the only way you can walk on water is when you step out on God's word.
Amen.
When you step out on God's word, you can hear the inaudible and you can do the impossible because you've got God's word in which you're standing. That's why the Bible says in Hebrews chapter 11 and verse 1, "Now faith." See, a lot of y'all had faith years ago, but what about right now? Now, you need some now. I know, when I was a baby, we need some faith now. You know, we don't talk about what happened 20 years ago. This church, don't we talk about 20 years? We talk about right now. We need some now faith. Now faith is something we hope for in heaven, so they not faith. Let me encourage you by, I like airplane throws. Can I get 2 airplane throws in my clothes? I promise. Can I do that? Is that all right with you? All right, he said I can stay longer by me. Is that all right? All right. Just tell the story. Can I tell the story real quickly? Is your food get cold? No, you don't eat? All right, I don't hold me food cold. Okay, right. Watch it. We together on that. Okay? All right, very good. You can tell. All right, watch it. I was flying one time. I don't like flying, but I fly in session because I have to go do all these meetings. So I fly because it's faster than driving. Did you know that? It's flying faster. So I fly. So I have to take pills when I fly. So I was flying one time. I was young. I was flying somewhere. And what happened was, we were flying, and the lady looked at me because I started to sweat. I wouldn't have hot flash, I was just sweat. And I was sweating, carrying on, and she said to me, she looked at me, she noticed I was a preacher somehow. I don't know how she knew, but she knew I was a preacher. She said, "Preacher, fear is a terrible thing." And then she said, don't worry about crashing. I wouldn't want to worry about it. I just don't like flying. But she said, "Don't worry about crashing because there's too much destiny in this plane." Go ahead and go there. Let me say to you, as it wrote, "Peter," the same word she told me, "is a terrible thing."
Amen.
Y'all ain't seen nothing yet. There's too much destiny up in here.
can't nobody take it away from you.
Amen.
Just stay in your... And God will bless you. And you'll make it to the hallway. And faith. Maybe there's somebody here who needs prayer this morning. You want to look out. Maybe somebody here who's not a member of the body of Christ. You don't believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. You need the name, of Jesus. And I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. You come by hearing, believing, repenting, confessing. Yeah, I'm still trying to find a preacher. I'm old school. You know, these new preachers now is, come on! And you're like, come away. You know, you want the folks to come down and respond, but you didn't tell me what I need to do. He's already tell folks where to be, but you got to tell them how to get there. So if men want to be saved, you got to get the word of God. You have to believe that which you have heard. Then you have to repent from the root of Methodia, meaning that you change direction. Then you confess the name of Jesus. All right? Then you're baptized in water. Y'all do that. For the mission of your sins. You go down, lost, and come up saved. When you come up in water, you come at the same time, you become a member of the body of Christ. At the same time, you become a child of God. At the same time, you become a joint heir. At the same time, become heirs of hope. At the same time, become brothers and sisters in Christ. At the same time, become the family of God. At the same time, become children of God. At the same time, become have eternal life. At the same time, you're now sanctified. At the same time, you become justified. At the same time, and all you have to do is get baptized. You'll be a mission. Forgive us of your sins in the Lord. Oh, and you can't join this church. The Lord then adds you to the body of Christ. And you become members of the body of Christ. Now, and what we are, we're all family. We're members. We're members of the church. We're members of the body of Christ. And if you're here, and when I'm going to ask you to comment, I'll tell you what the condition is. The stairs, sing the song, the fifth, the last song.